From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Jam-packed program today. We are we got four guests coming up, and I think one was sort of a mishap. But coming up here in just a second, our senior United States Senator Tommy Tuberville. Also on the program, Barry Moore will join us, as he did with Dan and Dalton about an hour ago. State Senator Chris Elliott in the 10 o'clock hour, and in the 11 o'clock hour, the United States Senate candidate Jared Hudson will make time for us. So it's election season, and everybody's getting on the program. Joining us now, as I had mentioned, he is running for governor in Alabama, but he's also our senior United States Senator. Tommy Tuberville joins us on the line. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's game time. You know, primaries right around the corner. I tell you what, the Supreme Court threw a wrench in everything this past week, but I think it's all good for the state. Looking forward to see what happened, and people are scrambling to see what they're going to do. But, you know, we're working hard and trying to make sure we finish strong in this governor's race. And of course, we've got a lot going on up here. My goodness. It's, you know, presidents in China, things going on nationally and worldwide. It's a busy time in politics.
Well, not too much news coming out of China, but what's your take on it thus far?
You know, I was with President Trump a few weeks ago. I flew out to the West Coast with him, and he's telling me that most of this is going to be about trade talks. Obviously, Iran will be brought up. China's getting hit pretty hard by the Straits of Hormuz block because they get most of their oil from the Straits, and so there'll be some talk about that. I think most of it, though, is going to be talk about trade with all the CEOs over there, a lot of AI talk, how that's going to pan out. As I was talking to the president, we need to get some kind of deal with China with selling them buying our soybeans, corn, and peanuts. I mean, we buy so much for them. There needs to be a reciprocal there. We got to get our farmers back in the game. They're in bad trouble, Jeff. So a lot of things that the president's got on his mind over there, but one of the things we've really got to do, we've got to get this Iran war over with. But again, we got a great opportunity to put them in their place, so we'll see what happens.
Well, the hope here is that we can make some progress on Iran with the summit with Xi. Is that realistic?
Yeah, I think if Iran is going to concede anything of these 10 or 12 points that President Trump has sent to the mullahs, is going to have to be decided not by them, but more by the people that supply them with things that they really need. And that comes from China, Russia. They're going to have to get involved in this. If they don't get involved, you're probably going to see President Trump, light them up again. All over Iran, because we can't let them stay status quo. They either got to agree with us, or President Trump's going to make them agree, and rightly so. I mean, they have been a pain in our side for 47 years. They've killed many, many thousands of Americans through terrorism, and we've got to get some kind of control of that. But right now is the only chance we'll have. If President Trump can't get this done, I mean, it's going to make the world much, much, much more of a problem, you know, when it comes to terrorism.
Well, elections are upon us. Now, I know people are about to vote. You were watching this, I assume. How you feel about things? I guess they need to ask you, well, what do you make of the Supreme Court's decision and then the follow-up action by Governor Ivey to call special elections?
Well, you know, I think that it's great for the state of Alabama. And, you know, this gerrymander nonsense really started in the Northeast. If you look at the top 9 or 10 states in the Northeast, they're 35-40% Republican, but they have zero representation in the House. Now, that's a disgrace. So if they're going to gerrymander, we're going to do the same thing. And but, you know, the thing that people don't understand, race does not need to be involved. when it comes to redistricting. This should be about politics. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court said. We'll go by their ruling. We'll get a map of that's changed. It pretty much go back to the same map we had. But you and I were talking beforehand of it puts a lot of people in play here when it comes to a short time election, which will happen, what, in the first couple of weeks of August. And then you don't have to have 50%. I mean, if you get 30% and you got more than everybody else, you're the winner. There's no runoff. And so it'll be a sprint to the finish, Jeff. But I think this is good for the state and it's good for the country of what the Supreme Court did.
If not between now and the time you are sworn into, we don't get to 7-0, a 7-0 map, congressional map, something you're going to look at during your potential governorship.
Oh, 100%. 100%. The problem that the 7-0 this time around, there was not enough time. I went to the House last week, met with the leadership over there in Montgomery. We talked about it, and there has to be all kind of public hearings. If you change a map that the public has really not looked at and have not vetted, you have no chance to get it done. The 6-1 map had been vetted. There have been public hearings. So this was really the only route we could go. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, we need 7-0. We really do. But, we were going to end up with a 5-2 if we tried that. We would have lost a 6-1 map.
Joined by Tommy Tuberville here on the program, hit running for governor. How is the campaign for governor going right now?
You know, it's going good. Been all over the state. It's a little bit different campaigning this time. When I was campaigning for the Senate seat, obviously I didn't have a job. And so I could stay on the road at 6-7 stops a day. This time around, I got a job and I'm up here almost 5 days a week. I try to do as much as I can on the weekends, sometimes on Mondays. But it's a lot more difficult, but a lot more people understand what I'm about now. I really don't have to sell it. I'm obviously a Christian conservative and I'm going to stand up for Alabama and the country when it comes to President Trump. I believe in him. I believe in getting small government, all those things that I think people in Alabama really are excited about. We're going to make a lot of changes now when and if I'm elected governor, because I've got a different plan. And that's like becoming a head coach. When you go into a situation, you hire your people. Obviously we'll keep some, but we'll look at and we'll evaluate everybody. But we're going to try to make the state better. We're going to try to make the government smaller and take the money that comes from that and put back into the roads and bridges and education, all things that we need to do. But the number one thing that I have to do and my staff will have to do, Jeff, is we have to grow the state. That's the best way to get rid of or eliminating how much state income tax that you charge, property tax. And if you don't have any of that, if you can't grow the state, I mean, at the end of the day, it could go the other way on you. But I'm not big on state income tax. I'm not big on these high property taxes. What I want to do is make sure that we get people come in the state, which every day now, I tell you what, it is amazing what President Trump has done. He got these people coming into all of our offices going, hey, we want to move aluminum plant to Alabama. We want to make drugs in Alabama. We want to make this, we want to make that. And we got to have power, water, and we got to have transportation. And so we're going to have a huge plan. We've already put a lot of it together, Jeff, of what we're going to do if elected governor. And I'm excited. I really am excited about it. I hate to leave up here, but we'll have somebody that can work with President Trump. We need somebody in the state right now that's going to take advantage of all this movement across the world of manufacturing coming back to the United States.
Coach, you got some unfinished business. Obviously, you're still a United States senator, but talk to us a little bit about the Assimilate Act.
Well, you got to give it to President Trump. He's trying his best to get as many of these illegals out of our country as he can. Of course, the Democrats, they're fighting us. They're fighting ICE. They don't want to fund them. They want all these people here to vote for them. But my God, folks, we're spending billions weekly on taking care of these people that President Biden and Obama let in into our country. We've got to fix our immigration system. It's broken. And that's why I'm introducing the Assimilation Act here in the Senate. You know, and what that does, it prioritizes immigrants who will come in and connect with Americans and go by our Constitution, our values, and everything that goes along with the American dream, our culture. It ends chain migration, which is a disaster. And we've got to get away from this visa lottery system. It's like having a raffle. I mean, how in the world are we bringing in people through a raffle? We should be taking the best and the brightest here that can help this country get better and better. Not people that's going to come here and get on welfare the first day, take Social Security that's never paid into it. They can't speak our language, and they walk around at these protests carrying the flag of another country. I mean, that's got to end, Jeff. We're going to lose our country. I mean, we are very close to losing our country because we have so many people in this country now that hate our country. And that's not why this country was built. We're the only free country in, out of close to 200 countries around the world that has the ability to control its own destiny. We have that ability, and we need to take advantage of that. We cannot be overrun by illegal immigrants the way the Democrats want us to be.
And, you know, it's you and Andy Ogles, I assume, I think, are working on that. But you do see that in a lot of American cities where you see the Palestinian flag and you see things like that. And it's like this, there's this cultural problem in America right now where you don't, you're really starting to see it show up in ways that when we did have immigration in the last century. The assimilation seemed like it was built in, and people had to go through the civics test and pledge allegiance to the country. It's no longer politically correct, and that seems to be kind of where we're going wrong here.
No, you're exactly right. Assimilation is a thing of the past, and that's got to be put at the forefront. If you're going to come here and try to change our country and not go by our rules and laws, you want to go by Sharia law and study the Quran and all those things. Listen, I'm not talking about Muslims. I'm talking about we have good Muslims in our country. But if you come here and study things and preach things that are going to just kill Americans, destroy America, and destroy the American dream, it's time for you to go. I mean, and we have got to stand up to this. It's got to be a hard-nosed tactic, and it starts with President Trump. He can't get it all done in the next 2.5 years, but, you know, running for governor, and I've talked to other governors across our country, we're going to have to start putting our best foot forward. We cannot allow these things to happen from the illegal standpoint of people changing what we do and how we do it.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. NIL, and, you know, on your way out, do you feel like you've had any successes here? Because it does seem like the situation is just deteriorating. We see it at Auburn. We see the transfers. We see the state of college athletics. But, I mean, and talk about that. And, you know, who's going to pick up the mantle once you're governor?
Well, unfortunately, I'm probably the only one that's going to be able to get it done. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I got about 7 months, Jeff. They got the PACT Act, which I put together. Democrats said no way because they want to unionize. Probably got too much, many things in there. The SCORE Act is another that Ted Cruz is putting out there. That's never going to happen. Not going to be antitrust. I've got a bill called the Student Athlete Act. And basically it's about education. We've got to get education back into this. And so it's very simple. You got 5 years to play five. No red shirt. Once you start, you got five. No exceptions, no exclusions. During those 5 years, you have a one transfer option. You can transfer anytime. You better save it. Just in case you have coaching change or you don't like what's going on, you can transfer one time. That's it. If you want to transfer again, you can, but you got to set out a year. You got to go by the old rule. It's very simple. The transfer and the portal are the biggest problems that we're having. Now, I don't care if they make $100 million a year, okay? The cat's out of the bag on that. But we have to save education. We have to save women sports. You saw we started losing sports at Arkansas. They got more money than any school in our state, but they've already cut out women's and men's tennis. That's coming to every school. But we got to save women's sports, and we got to save Olympic sports, and we got to put education back into the scenario to save college sports. Again, I'm not against the money. You'd like to do something with that, but I can't get that in the bill because nobody's going to vote for it. But I think I can get 60 votes. I can get 6 or 7 Democrats to vote for this in the Senate. If we can do that, President Trump will sign it. And that'll be a good starting point where the NCAA can set back and say, okay, we got the portal worked out. We got the eligibility worked out. Now let's work on all these other things and not let the federal government get in our business anymore. But for us to sit around and watch this happen, I mean, we're dying on the vine here, but I will do my dangest to get this passed before I walk out of here in December.
Coach, we'll leave it there. You're always very kind to this program, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. That was Tommy Tuberville there on the program. We're going to get a break in here. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Living on the road. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Coming up in the next segment, Barry Moore. 251-343-0106 is the text line. So keep the text coming. Let's see here. Jeff asked Coach T about what he feels about the smear commercial about him becoming rich off the stock market. I didn't even think to do that. Sorry, this was all very, very, very sudden. Coach, please help with the I-10 bridge. That from Debbie and Daphne, the I-Texter. Of course, Tommy isn't big on state income tax. That's why he lives and flies in Florida. Tim, Jeff, what about the governor that actually talks, can get on the radio, carry a conversation off the cuff without a dozen people telling him what to say? Man, it's going to be nice. You know what's going to be great? Is having a relationship with both U.S. senators and the governor and not having, because for years, it was Shelby who just didn't do media. He did not care about he as long as he got his mention in Steve Flowers' column, he was good. And then, of course, Ivy has not been a great media governor at all, and she's got a comms team that is just runs cover for her. You imagine being like the comms staff for Governor Ivy, when your whole mission is just to shield her from questions. Like that's the strategy. It's like every now and then you have to step in with some crisis communication tactics, but that's the entirety of what they do. Troy Fan, Senator Tuberville was bought by Democrats because he is to the point, correct, and does not feel the need for fancy language. And then Daniel writes, college sports is dead. It's all minor league pro now. I mean, I'm kind of okay with that. There's just so much money in it. What I don't like is you got to have these guys there. There's got to be, if we're going to be semi-pro, then the rules need to be somewhat pro, where you're under a contractual obligation. You can't just jump ship, go to 3 different schools in 4 years, or 4 different schools in 4 years, or whatever. Look, I worked when I was in college in my chosen profession. These guys want to play pro ball. Set them up for success. Make that part of the curriculum. Like it's a bona fide profession. Even if you don't play in the NFL or you don't play in the NBA, you can still make a living playing pro ball for a few years. So I would like to see that. Nappy Award for most absurd campaign ad goes to John Tater Salad, who I need to get on the show soon. We're going to try to get some of these more of these candidates on. Everybody's, especially today, wanting time on the program. What's tougher, running comms for Meemaw or Biden? Oh, Biden's hard. And they see with Biden, they actually tried to roll him out in front of the press. How'd that work out for him? They actually, he actually would stand and embarrass himself.
Counting flowers on the wall.
And it always backfired, but at least you tried. This governor just doesn't. There's not been a press conference in like 5 years. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Tell me, I've nothing to do. It's good to see you. I must go. I know I look a fright. Anyway, my eyes and my.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line wide open, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. That's what you do. You text me, and we'll do our best to respond. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, State Senator Chris Elliott will make time for us. And also in the 11 o'clock hour, running for United States Senate, Jared Hudson will be with us, so stay tuned for that. Joining us now, he is my congressman, but he's also a candidate for United States Senate. Our good friend, Congressman Barry Moore, is with us. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, Jeff, we are doing good. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, doing well. Well, we'll start here, and you were sort of in some ways the victim of this whole situation, but you prevailed 2 years ago when you ran for the first congressional district. But give us your reaction to, the Supreme Court ruling on the Louisiana versus Calais, and then the response to the legislature and the governor.
Yeah, so you're right, Jeff. And you're a better political historian than I am, but I think I was the first member in Alabama drawn out of a district in 100 years, I don't know, or in the history of Alabama, but it was like, that happened to us because Eric Holder and those guys sued all the red states around for these minority-majority districts. And, you know, I was drawn out of my district, had to run in another. You know, I was drawn back into a different district. Let me say that. I was drawn out of the original district I was in Congress. And so, yeah, having to go through that and having to deal with that and to see it happen again, I'm glad the Supreme Court is actually allowing us to go back to communities of interest. I think it's vitally important. And I think it's also vitally important that Alabama push for a 7-0 map. It's imperative when you got states like California, you got over 50 U.S. House members and there are only 4 or 5 that are Republican. You got Illinois, just they're gerrymandering crazy to take power to D.C. And Alabama, if we're not aggressive in these things, we will ultimately be at the whims of California, Illinois, and the Northeast Coast, who, you know, the Northeast Coast are 9 states and don't have a single U.S. Republican. But their averages, if you look at the voting, it's 37% to 48% were for Trump. They have U.S. 0 Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives. So I'm glad the legislature moved the map. I'm encouraging to try to do a 7-0. I don't know how the timeline looks right now, but down the road, it's vitally important for us as Alabamians and red states to actually have a voice in the process based on communities of interest and quit trying to divide the country based on race.
Well, and, you know, I can't imagine what this is going to look like, these special elections, but it's going to be a free-for-all. And, you know, we're going back, I guess, to what it was, but the special election system, I mean, what do you think? The way that we're handling it, 6-1 map, that the best way to do it for now?
For now, as quick as we can. Like I said, I don't know if we've got time to do a 7-0 map. I don't know the timelines and I don't know everything in place, but I do believe that it's vitally important that we as Republicans, like I said, fight back. I served on the Judiciary Committee and Jamie Raskin, who's the ranking member on the Democratic side, he literally had already drafted articles of impeachment on President Trump before the last election. So they would have day one started the whole impeachment charade, shenanigans they did during President Trump's first term. So these midterms are vitally important for Republicans, and we need to make sure that we do what we can to make sure that we maintain a majority in Washington, D.C. so they don't impeach a president that the American people love and won overwhelmingly in the last election.
Well, let's kick it off here, though, with your campaign. Talk a little bit about that. You know, you're having to juggle your congressional duties and a campaign at the same time, but are you feeling good about where you're at?
Yeah, we're feeling good, and the momentum seems to be coalescing with us, and so that's good, and we've been able to get our message out across the state, and it's just a message of being a conservative and being a friend of the president, and obviously with his endorsement, that was big. But also just we're running on our record. Heritage Action about 3 or 4 weeks ago scored all 435 U.S. House members. And there were only 11 in the nation that got a perfect score. And I was one of the 11. So we're running on our record, running on being a member of House Freedom Caucus, running on how we voted and how we fought. And, you know, there are a lot of good people in races and certainly in this race. But the thing is, you just, without the legislative experience and without a record, I see it so often. I saw it in the state when I ran there and served two terms and in Montgomery and D.C. as well. People run, and then when they get in the system gets its hooks in them, and they end up not really toeing the line on conservative ideas. And so I've been able to manage that, even with the pressure applied, even with all the things going on in Washington, D.C. and in Montgomery. I've always been a dependable conservative vote. And so I think that's the thing. We're getting the message out, and people seem to be appreciating it and coming to our camp, and that's what we want to see come Tuesday.
So we know you down here. You served as our congressman for a couple of years. When it's all said and done, it will be 2 years. Obviously, your time in the Wiregrass, and then obviously you were, you know, you represented Montgomery and the River Region as well for 4 years. But getting around to the rest of the state, raising that name ID, tell us about how that's going.
It's going well. We're just having, like you said, it's expensive. You got to be in those media markets in Huntsville and Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Auburn, all those cities, because pretty well south of Montgomery, if I've had about ever Republican county south of Montgomery. And so they've seen me, they've seen our team serve and take care of our people. And so now as we go north, I've been very well pleased with the reception we've been getting across the state from like-minded conservatives who love the president, who love what we've done in Washington, D.C. And as we run on that record and talk about that record, people appreciate it. And so that's the thing. You just got to be able to get on there, get your message out, and try to make sure that people know who it is and make sure they're informed come Tuesday when they've got to vote.
And you had a Trump endorsement in your back pocket. Tell us, how is that really approved? Now, I think there's very tangible evidence that it has helped, because once you got the endorsement, the polls was kind of started to swing in your favor. But what's it been like seeing it on the ground?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because people, like I said, they may not know who Barry Moore is in North Alabama, but they know Donald Trump. And in Alabama, they love the president. And so his endorsement covered it. It just sort of went across the state media. And that allowed us, you know, to get that unpaid for media that where people just, oh, Trump's with Barry Moore. And he says he's a friend, a good friend, a fighter, and won't let you down. And so as people saw that and realized that, hey, this guy's been in the fight with the president appreciates the work that he's done in D.C. and the way I've stood with the president, I think that moved the needle so much more so than just running ads saying what you're going to do. When you got the president of the United States saying, hey, I've seen this guy, he's been with me, he's been in the fight, I don't have to call him in the middle of the night to move the America First agenda across the finish line because he holds out for some port project or some whatever it is, pet project, whatever it is, I don't do that to the president, because the nation is vitally more important than just one little thing that I may want. And so with a two-vote majority, some of these guys tend to hold the president hostage, but I don't do that. I'm trying to help him get his agenda across the finish line. He's the greatest president in my lifetime, and I don't want to see that thwarted based on personal interest as a politician. I want to make sure I'm doing what the American people and what the people of Alabama need us to do.
How close are you following what's going on in China? Speaking of the president, and you know, I would assume some of this is going to impact Alabama. If there's any sort of, you know, economic deals or tariff or related things going on here, but, how you feel about Trump's visit to China?
I think it's important. I mean, they're in many ways, they're one of the nations that we compete against in for so many markets and certainly for goods and services often. And so, and of course, Taiwan being so close to China and being a major chip maker for us, as I went over to, you know, Pacific Command and visited, we saw that proximity of Taiwan to China, and Taiwan is an ally of ours. So the president's doing what he needs to do. I think it's important that you're always at the table. You may not agree with who's across the table from you, but dialogue starts a possibility of coming to an agreement on what it is that's best for both countries. And so I think it's good that the president's there, and he took a good team of business leaders. Rubio went with him, Secretary of State. So he's got some people with him that'll, I think, hopefully, I mean, you don't know, but I think starting the dialogue, Jeff, is better than just being quiet, because that's where Charlie Kirk always talked about. It's better to talk about things, and even if you disagree, to be at the table rather than just stand off and view other people as enemies. And so I think the president, he wrote the art of the deal. deal. He knows how to negotiate, and he comes always from a strong position. And I think it's important that we at least are having dialogue with these nations, and that we're at the table, and that they understand who we are and what we're for. And where we can find agreement and common ground, that's great. And where there's issues, I need to just come to an agreement. Here's how we're going to handle those. And so I hadn't followed it terribly close, but I trust the president's leadership on it.
Well, I think there's some hope here that we can get China to use its leverage with Iran and try to get the Strait of Hormuz open. How do you feel about that as it pertains to Iran?
Yeah, I think certainly China gets a lot of energy from that part of the world and through the Strait. And I think 37% of their energy oil comes from that area. So they have a vested interest as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's certainly part of the negotiations, because China, I think they've worked closely with Iran in the past on drones and development technologies. And so it's vitally important that if we can get China to help us with Iran, we can bring peace to that region. And it's good to have, even like I said, you know, there's an old saying, the enemy of your enemy is your friend. But I think in this situation where China's kind of been not always friendly to the U.S., if we can get them to join us in addressing the Iran issue, then I think that'll go a long, long way in the region.
And speaking of Iran, I mean, what's your prognosis here? I assume you're following that, but what do you, you know, we hear we're close and then we're not close, and this has gone on for a while now. What's your assessment?
Yeah, I think you're right. I hear we're close and then we're not close sometimes. And certainly I was in the Oval Office of the President 2 weeks ago, I think it was, and he felt good about our where we were at the time. But then I think it's tough right now with the regime because they're in disarray. They don't know who's in charge. And in many ways, I think that's the problem. And they have a bit of an apocalyptic view of the world. They don't always look for peace. They're more terrorist kind of group. And so it's tough to get them. They don't negotiate with logic many times. And so obviously, I think initially with the military attacks, taking out their Navy, their defense system, disabling a lot of their drone capabilities. And then the sanctions right now with no energy flowing out, the cost per day there, the economic impact plus the military impact. I think that we're getting closer. And obviously, if China can come in and help, that would be a tremendous assistance in us getting to a position, I hope, of peace in the region. We want to see that. We just want to see that regime gone and put Iran back to the country where people can live in liberty. And I think one of the things, Jeff, that really drove the president was them massacring about 30, 40,000 of their own citizens.
Well, and the impact that it's having on Alabama, obviously everyone is touched by the gas prices and the higher cost of oil, but there's other, I guess, elements to it. The inputs for farmers and fertilizer, just diesel for your tractor, that it's making things more expensive. I mean, do you hear from when you're on the campaign trail, or do you hear these discussions?
Yeah, you know, I see it some on social media, too. I see it when I'm out talking to people and there's concerns about fuel prices. And, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that it's a short-term cost for us to look for long-term peace agreements that will help our kids and grandkids. So Iran's been doing this for decades now. And look, they've always been able to hold that Strait kind of as hostage. And I think in many ways, if we can, you know, the affordability issue is a problem, but I hope it's just a bump in the road. I hope we can land a plane. And I think we've got a great team and leadership at the White House and Secretary of State, Secretary of War, obviously the president, the vice president, all those people are working to get to a resolution, and they understand energy drives. I mean, we saw Biden, he raided the strategic petroleum reserve before the last midterms, lower prices right before the election. So it's certainly forefront, not only in people in Alabama's minds, but in those of us who are up here trying to serve, we want to make sure that we get energy down. And I think long term we will. We just don't know. Hopefully it'll happen between now and the midterms for Republicans in any way.
One more question here. We'll get you out of here. I know you got a hard out here in just a moment. But tell us, you're out on the campaign trail. Well, let's talk about it like this. If you're elected to Senate, where do you see yourself? What are you going to try to accomplish early on? That may put you distinguish you from the other candidates.
Well, I think one thing that helps me is being in the House, you get preferential treatment on Senate committees when you transfer over. So for us, immediately, we'll be able to have more of an impact and get a committee assignments that will impact the state. And so that's vitally important. And I think day one, too, the relationships we have with the White House will be impactful. But I think for us in Congress, the priorities are getting these executive orders that the president has got drafted. And they're in place, but we need to codify those, Jeff, because the next Democratic administration can come in and open the border right back up. They can come right back in and start the crazy left agenda. And so it's vitally important, I think, that we get this president's agenda. We get the America First things codified, not just in the executive orders with a, that are done with a pen and a phone, as Barack Obama famously said, but we can go in and codify this. And so I see that as my mission right now is to help this president finish what the American people elected him to do, and that's shrink the size of the federal government and give more liberty back to the people within the state.
Congressman, we always appreciate your time. We'll let you get back to the business of D.C., but folks want to find out more about your campaign. How can they do so?
Thank you, Jeff. It's BarryMoreForAlabama.com, and tell folks don't forget to vote on Tuesday.
Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman, we do appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. That was Barry Moore there. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Hit us up on the text line. Also, still to come on the program, we'll have Chris Elliott, our returning champion, a day early. Some conflict on Friday. And then we'll have Jared Hudson, who's running against Barry Moore for that U.S. Senate seat. So stick around for that. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
It's life in Dixie with these Alabama Blues.
Cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Sing it.
Song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Coming up in the next hour, State Senator Chris Elliott. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Jared Hudson, a candidate who is, you know, as we heard from Sam Roberts yesterday on the Coleman Daily, and his polling really strong in the Birmingham market. And that's what is really feeding him right now and making him a very, you know, viable contender to make the runoff. So that's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. 251-343-0106. We got a bunch of text here. Subject for Chris Elliott: problem titles, land being stolen, identity thieves. Has your parents' house been paid for? They are very vulnerable. This takes place on the home field of 67 probate offices throughout the state. What can be done to stop the theft of title of land that is paid for? Well, I know that Representative Fidler, Jennifer Fidler, this has come up at her, and it's happened here locally. This is how it showed up on her radar. And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I would assume maybe we do have to do like the way we have our safeguards on our, you know, credit cards and checking accounts and, you know, the use of biometrics. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. It's a problem. I will acknowledge that. And I've heard this, Chris, for multiple people. But clearly there's a deficiency in the system, and the state's got to do something here to fix that. I tell you what, and it's not necessarily indicative of anything going on in Baldwin or Mobile County's probate courts, but it may be that we live in a state that's a little behind. I mean, it's not behind the times, you know, it's not. But technologically, it's slower to catch up. And we need to put in the safeguards to keep this from happening. But I, you know, like I said, I acknowledge the problem. I don't know. I'm not versed enough in what that solution could be. Ultra runner: Tennessee stripped Democrats from their committees due to their obstreperous behavior. Thanks for the thesaurus award there. On our own, Representative Gavan hurls insults at Justice Thomas, a straw boss, Uncle Tom, an MF-er, the one who sold us out in Africa. She explained that she doesn't use the N-word. She performed a magical literary trick by spelling it backwards and hurling it at Thomas, presumably with all the weight and none of the repercussions. Do we have any rules of decorum in the Alabama legislature? She did all this outside the chamber. So by virtue of being a member of the legislature, I guess it does, there's no rules against that sort of behavior. If they tried to impose some kind of rules, it would probably not work out. Now, if it's criminal, if it's something of that sort, yes, then there are ethics rules. There are rules to counter that. But, people get what they vote for. And this is what they want in her district, apparently. We'll see. She may lose on Tuesday. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig.